welcome to Hoosier Hockey Live, episode 20, featuring the Fort Wayne Comet forward, the best beard in the league, Mr. Mason Baptista. Mason, thanks for being with us, brother, once more.
Happy to be here. Excited to talk to you.
Very good. This episode of Hoosier Hockey Live is brought to you by All Black Hockey Sticks. All Black Hockey Sticks is a 100% carbon fiber, 440 gram, now only $89. Go to allblackhockeysticks.com to get the best stick on the market. Mason, I want to jump into your career, brother. I was doing some research in preparation for the conversation. You played in the OJ. Mm-hmm. So for maybe those who are, you know, not familiar with the Ontario events, kind of run us down the juniors there in Ontario.
I grew up in Toronto, so it was pretty easy, like goal wise. Like, that's something most players in Toronto want to do, I guess. Now, like, it's the climate is definitely changing hockey wise, but mm-hmm. I had the opportunity after AAA to go play junior A hockey in the OJ, and I ended up playing there for 4 years. So it was a huge part of my development, and it's a really good place to play. I know the junior leagues have definitely made a big shift since I was playing, so that was about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely it was interesting atmosphere, because you didn't get as many fans, but the competition was definitely really intense, because
sure,
the talent pool in Toronto is pretty huge. So
yeah,
but like, teams are pretty close to each other.
Okay, well, good. So again, competitive Ontario province, and you know, you mentioned the development to your game, which led you to St. Norbert, and I believe, is that Wisconsin?
Yeah, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Very good. For those of you that maybe don't know, St. Norbert is a very well-respected D3 program. And Mason, did you win two or three titles there?
We won two national championships while I was there.
Very good. So while you're there, talk about head coach Tim Coughlin and the development in your game while you were there, and maybe a couple of you know, funny stories of just stories while you're there.
Well, it's Tim Coughlin. I know some guys actually get that messed up all the time.
Oh, come on.
I know. Hello? Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. So talk about playing under Tim, and you know, maybe a couple stories from your time there at St. Norbert.
Like, Tim's an awesome coach, and you know what? It was very fortunate to go to St. Norbert College again. They don't recruit many players from the East typically. Like, they usually go from the BC League or some of the Alberta leagues, and some of the leagues down here in the NA and the USHL. And I was very fortunate to go over there and play for him. Like, he's a great coach. He's one of the most winning coaches in D3, if anything, in all of, like, hockey. He achieved like over 500 wins. Just the national championships just keep stacking up. He was just very, when I went there, I was very offensive minded. Mm-hmm. I was one of the leading goal scorers coming out of the OJ. And one of the biggest things I learned when going there was how to play a well-rounded game, to play defense, play 200-foot game, be reliable in the D zone. It's not just about scoring goals. It's about being a, especially the system that we played over there at St. Norbert, we never had like the top goal scorers in the league or in the country. Mm-hmm. But we found ways to win because we played solid two-way hockey, very good defense, mm-hmm. and leaned on each other. So it really was one of the big first steps in me learning how to play the game and play it the right way.
Right on. Now, another thing I want to bring up and mention, and you'll be able to speak to this team-wide, but I'm just looking at your DB. In your freshman year, you played 28 games, had 18 PIMs. Sophomore year, 29 games, 8 PIMs. Junior year, 32 games, 24 PIMs. And senior year, 28 games, 20 PIMs. Now, that's super-duper low. Now, kind of speak to staying out of the box as a team and maybe how that led to your guys' success.
Well, it was just, again, like, we enforce and hold everyone at the college level. It's a lot easier to do this just because you're there for 4 years. But one of the big things at school was being very disciplined. And it was like, as soon as I came in, a lot of the older guys pulled me in, and we were talking about like certain little things that would definitely push them over the edge. And one of the big ones was like, you don't want to be talking back to the refs. You don't, mm-hmm. if you don't want to be taking penalties. And if you got a 10 minute misconduct for talking to the refs, like you didn't play the next game. And that was true. Not just for any play, not just for certain players. It was for everyone. Like one of our, my senior year, one of the best defensemen on our team did that. And he sat, and he was the best player on our team. So best defenseman on our team. And he holds you accountable, and you have to be disciplined. And the system that we play, we block everything on the PK. We really force, like we were averaging less than 20 shots a game.
Oh, wow.
Throughout my 4 years there. And that's, if you're taking a lot of penalties, it's going to be hard to keep that number low. So
sure.
It's just, he's very, the discipline culture is something huge that he taught us growing, like, well, all my time there. So
right on, man. Excellent. So 4 years there, a couple titles, which led you to your pro career. But before we dive into that, what did you study when you were at St. Norbert?
I was a business major. Mm-hmm. Again, it's something that, yeah, it was just, I was more into the psychology side, but business was definitely, it was something that allowed me to play hockey and not have to worry too much about the academic side. Not mm-hmm. to say the academic side isn't important, but I went there obviously to like grow my game, get an education. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to stretch myself too thin. And when it came school wise, and at St. Norbert, that's very high academic school. It's very difficult to do well. Sure. In some of like the bigger programs, like bio and psychology. We had one player that was able to do it, but business was something that is interesting, and again, it's relevant in any field you go into now. So it was something that was what I ended up studying there. So
very good. Excellent. So let's go away from the career for a minute. You mentioned the business management side of it. I want to talk about your business. You have a business and a website. It's babshockey.com. Go ahead and for those of you know, people that maybe don't know, break down that business. What do you do? What does that entail? And how does that help the game?
It's come through a long way. I've been teaching kids for a very long time, but I can say like honestly and finally, I've been able to come up with a system to help players develop hockey IQ. And you can Google hockey IQ. There's a couple things on YouTube some guys like to put out, but when you Google hockey IQ, there's not a lot of systems out. There's actually only one other system that teaches it, and it seems very outdated. I've built the business around this niche market where it develops hockey IQ in athletes. It doesn't matter if you're a minor league player, a super young player playing in the East Coast, or you're playing in the NHL. And I've mm-hmm. tested it across all the different spectrums. Mm-hmm. And what it does, it gives you a snapshot analysis of where you're at in the game, gives you a couple, between 1 to 3 different skill and tactics that you can adjust in your game, and then you can implement them in the next 5 to 6 games, and then we keep spinning back and going through that and slowly building this upward curve and building up your game. And it has it simple to use Dropbox, where you can just toss in your first shift, which I do for free, so you get a sample of what I offer. And right now I'm just trying to show people there is a way to develop hockey IQ. It's a market where people just think, oh, you just have it. And it's something that can be learned. It's something that can be taught. And mm-hmm. I found a very easy-to-use system that allows you to really skyrocket your game.
That's amazing. So let me just run it back to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. So you can take a video of your shift. It doesn't have to be like a helmet cam, but just like a video of your shift. They send it to you. You do kind of like a hockey professor analysis on, you know,
a breakdown. I'll give you like a breakdown, like with arrows, the whole 9 yards, and mm-hmm. give you different options and illustrate exactly what you're missing, things that you're doing well. And then you get like a PDF and that shift back, and it'll be a sample. You'll get it for free. And then at the bottom, I have different packages for players, whichever one works. And then you have I recommend every 5 to 6 games going through it. That way you get an accurate picture of where you're at. And if you're able to apply the different principles and the different skills. And so we slowly just build a foundation and build on top of that. And you just see, like, again, I've tested this with 3 players at a younger age, really in-depthly, and then across the board with some other older players. Mm-hmm. And these players, like, are all reporting that, like, they are the highest hockey IQ on their team by far. I'm watching their game tape. I'm actually doing a year review for one of the kids right now. Mm-hmm. And his game is completely different. It's unbelievable to watch. It's actually very enjoyable and rewarding to see the work that he put in early on. And now that he's able to see things that he never seen before.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. So people that want to get in on this, simply go to babshockey.com, correct?
Yeah, you just got to, it's super easy. Go to babshockey.com. I've simplified the website. People that have seen the website in the past have, like, it was a little complicated. Now it's simple. It's all about developing hockey IQ. And, again, I do the skill side. I've partnered with some other people, and that's more like on the summer side or when I see you in person, but I'm moving into online. And all you have to do is go to www.babshockey.com, scroll down to the Dropbox. It says it'll show you free shift analysis. Mm-hmm. Type your name, email, your age category, drop your shift in there, and within about like 48 hours, 72 hours, I'll review it with a PDF file, and you'll have something to start on. Like, again, and then I'll give you a sample of where you're at, and then we move forward after that and find a way to get your game to the next level.
Awesome. Now, I saw a recent revamp of your website on Twitter or Facebook. I forget which one it is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share it as like a little swipe up.
Okay, awesome.
And then,
thank you.
Yeah, so then that way people can find you a little bit easier. Again, that's babshockey.com. So thanks for the breakdown on the business, man. That sounds like something, that's good for the game and good for the development, and it shows that you know, you're an ambassador, and it's not just about you. You know, you want to take time to help other players and help them reach their maximum potential. So that's great.
Well, I have a lot of experience. It's been a long road. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of different what I've been able to do over the past, I'd say the past 4 years, is accumulate a lot of information, a lot of data. And I've done separately over six studies right now. Mm-hmm. NHL studies, all ranging from watching over 6,000 goals for one NHL season and categorizing all the goals, then watching 50 NHL players and categorizing their goals over a 3-year span. And then I did an analysis of how goals are scored, and now I'm doing a team system breakdown of 8 different NHL teams. And so all these studies become, they're full access to players who work and sign up with the site, with the membership, and now they have a competitive advantage over every other player, because a lot of people, the problem I've seen in the skills coaches specifically, is they give a lot of opinion versus objective truth and a lot of information that's backed by statistics and experience. Yep. It's not just an opinion. So this helps kids get a better idea of the principles that govern the game, and they can really grow their game with a healthy foundation instead of having to keep going back and forth, which I did a lot of growing up. So I try to, hopefully this system will allow players to prevent that and really skyrocket their game.
Yeah, that's it's great. It sounds very intricate and a little bit over my head. I might have to send you a shift of my beer league games, bud. See if
I have. I have an adult that sends his stuff too. It's I had an adult that I inquired about it. He sent me his stuff, and it's like he's doing it because it's more enjoyable for him. He loves to play, and he goes, "Hey, I'll do it once." He does it like once a month, so it's like, okay, here, just send me 5 clips. I'll show you a couple of things. He loves going out to open skate and practicing. I gave him a couple of things to work on. And now the next month, when he's out in the games, he's looking for different seams. he's looking for things that Matthews looks for. He's able to see different scenarios, and that just makes the game more enjoyable for him. He doesn't have to do it as intensely as some other players, but does it once a month, hands in five shifts, and now he has something to build on. It's enjoyable. Yeah. It's a great experience. And who doesn't like scoring goals?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll have to send a clip, man. I can guarantee you, you'll have a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah, send it over, you know, and we'll give you a little review.
You'll be screaming, back check.
No, I doubt it.
But... All right, man. Yeah. All right, dude, so let's jump back into this thing. You know, you went from St. Norbert, and it doesn't show any kind of, like, draft information. So it goes right from St. Norbert to Quad City. Explain that transition for maybe those that don't know.
Well, anyone that's watching is probably a Comet fan, and you're seeing it right now. We have a lot of players coming in, and that was kind of the situation with Quad City. I went into Quad for 4 games, and I had to go back to school. Some players don't have to. It depends on your school situation. But I knew I wanted to play pro hockey. I knew I wanted to keep growing as a player, and so after our season – sadly was ended in a tough loss. I had an agent beforehand, and he knew. They kind of like weighed on the weeds and just kind of let teams know that, oh, this player might be available depending on this. And so it happens really quickly, because teams have injuries, teams have players that get called up, and then Quad had a lot of people go down, and so I was able to go in there, do well, get my foot in the door, and it really helped me moving forward. So
that's awesome. And then the following year, a full season with Wichita. So I'm assuming that small sample size in Quad City gained some awareness of your game.
Yeah, we actually played against Wichita, and I scored the game-winning goal against them. So it opened a door for me to go over there. There I learned a lot, and then I ended up here in Fort Wayne actually shortly after that. It didn't really work out. The team was definitely moving in a different direction, and ended up in Fort Wayne and played about 15 games, and that was the year they had a lot of players up in the AHL, and then I was able to come back the following year.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were in Wichita, did you play with Mike Neal?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he's an Indy. He used to play for Indy, and now he's with Kalamazoo.
I saw you came back. I didn't see that he was playing anywhere this year, so I was curious where he was. And he's a funny guy. He definitely loves his jokes.
Sure. Yeah, when he was here in Indianapolis, didn't have a ton of time to talk, you know, but he'd go to, like, the family skates and stuff and spend time with the fans, and he seemed like a really enjoyable guy, very polite, and, one of those guys that was, good to the fans, a good ambassador to the game. So nothing but positive things on our end to say about him, but I didn't know maybe if you played with him a ton or what. But
no, I played with him that whole year there, and he was he's definitely not a morning person, so he is. him and the captain there were good friends, and they were always up for a couple laughs, so it's definitely enjoyable for the – when I was over there. So
sure, very good, man. So so to Fort Wayne, it looks like you spent about 15 games there in 15-16 after Wichita, and then to Fort Wayne for 2 consecutive seasons. A couple of people we've had on the show, we've had Cody Soule on, and you're currently playing with him. Great guy, someone that's a fan of the show and a friend of the show. We love Cody. But another guy that we've had on is Bobby Shea, and you've got to have an ace Bobby Shea story.
Oh man, I don't know what stories I have that I can share on here, but but no, Bobby's awesome, man. Like, he's a guy that I definitely miss in the locker room, just because he'd always like to spark conversation. There's a couple players that like to test the waters, but not like him. He was definitely, he'd always come in the locker room, and he always come up and have an interesting new idea or conspiracy theory or something he read up on, and we'd always go in there, and we could get the ball rolling. So he sat in the same corner as I did in the room, so he was awesome to have around.
Sure. Was he a true psycho about sticks, like he says?
He loved his sticks, man. Every time, like, that's one of the topics. It was always like,
man, I wish we had AHL sticks. Like, they have way more pop. So he was a stick guy. You know what? He played in the A. He felt like there was a difference. So he's a detailed guy. And so sure. He was just like, he tried to find any way to find an edge. So
absolutely. Yeah, we've had him on a couple times. He's a beauty, man. He's a classy dude. Handsome as shit, too. Holy moly.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's an awesome dude, and definitely one of the – it's hard to – like, I miss a lot of the guys from the team last year, but, like, absolutely. He's, again, just nothing but great things. And he sat right there with Sol as well. The corner was unbelievable, so it definitely always up for a bunch of chucks, so –
Right on. So kind of moving forward, man, who's the knucklehead this year? I've heard that you guys have got a loose locker room, couple pranks going around. Who's the key prankster?
I don't know. I think Sol is still the number I saying it on live, like, yes, he's still the number one prankster and jokester on the team. So he's always he's definitely the leader on there, and then everyone, you know, then you got Shaz is always good for a couple, like, he's him and Sol just work off each other, and then
of course
then it just gets the ball rolling in there. So JC's trying to sneak in there too as a new guy, so he's sneaking and trying to toss in the jokes as well. So it's definitely it's turning into more of a the same environment that we're used to.
Right on. So I want to talk about last year a little bit. You guys had a deep run. You guys went to the conference finals against Colorado, and in a series that was unreal. Seven games, kind of back and forth the whole way. Just kind of give us your thoughts. You know, I ask you know, a lot of Fort Wayne guys this. Just your thoughts on the grind of that series and the year as a whole, and maybe, you know, just your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was a great team. It's more of like the group of guys. It's like, next to college, I've never had a group. I played for 4 years pro and 4 years of college. And other than college, that was one of the tightest groups I've ever been a part of. Like, the guys were just awesome. Like, we still have a little group chat together where we all like toss in a joke here and there, or like, mm-hmm. let guys like say happy birthday to guys. Like, it was just, it was truly a real tight-knit group that came together, and it was just unfortunate the way things ended, but mm-hmm. again, that's the game, that's how tight it is, that's how important the little details are in the game, and making sure you practice the right habits, because you never know when it's going to be the most crucial time in a game where you need to make sure you're executing certain things. And so it just shows how fast the game is and how unexpected things are. Like, we're up 3-1, and then it just snowballed real quickly. They did a great job. You got to tip your hat off to them. Like, they did a mm-hmm. great job of finding a way, and that's the reason they're they were back-to-back champions there. So
sure. Yeah, you know, like you said, the minor details, but man, the run you guys had late in the year and peaking at the perfect time to make that run. I mean, think about it. The division series was, like, really good, you know. I think you guys – what was it, Toledo you guys had?
We had Cincy and Toledo.
Yeah, Cincy and Toledo. So, again, two divisional opponents that you guys see a ton, highly spirited, you know, series. You guys were able to get the best of them. Do you think that maybe drained you guys a little bit in some kind of way?
I don't think so. I think it's just more, again, like, we can say it drained us, but Colorado had to do the same thing. And so it's everyone's human. Everyone's going through the exact same roller coaster of emotions and physical torment. And it's just about finding a way. And the thing is, when I played at St. Norbert, being able to win those championships, I learned what it took to win. And then when you come at this, when you come into like seven game series, it's similar, just extended out and obviously more games. And it's the same thing. You need everything running for you. You need things running on, coming together at the right time. And, it's just one of those things that it just didn't work. We didn't run out of gas. It was just, they were able to capitalize on their chances when they had them, and we weren't. So,
okay.
It's something you can learn and grow from. I think it's important.
you learn to lose, you learn a lot of things from it, and if you take some of those experiences, you're able to handle those situations much better in the future and find ways to win. So it's definitely, if anything, it was a great learning. It was in hindsight, when you look past the situation and take the emotion out, it was a great experience to use, and now when the time comes again, we'll be able to come together and execute.
Right on. Yeah, no, you bring up some good points and some good insight. Now, moving past last year, you signed with Freiburg in the Del 2. Kind of walk us through that process and leaving Fort Wayne momentarily, and you know, maybe the thoughts and factors that led into that decision.
Well, it was more of like I felt that it was the appropriate time to try the European scene and see what else was out there. Again, it was difficult leaving, but I knew if I was going to go to Europe, this was the right time to go and give it a real try. It seemed like a very good situation at the time, and definitely difficult to leave here, especially after the year that happened. But I knew that if there was a time to go, this was a definite time. This is the opportunity. And again, like everyone knew there was going to be a lot of turnaround, especially after like how good that team was. It's very hard to retain players. And
sure.
So it seemed like the right decision. Again, when I go over again, I don't really, it's not that I regret going there. I met some great people, and it was definitely enjoyable going to some and visit some different spots, but it was just not the right environment or right fit for me. Going over there, like, is a completely different style of game. It definitely wasn't what I expected. And when things started to not go very well, like from a team aspect, and the organization was really nice to me, like when we were decided to go our separate ways, but just the culture went in here versus over there is a lot different. So when things weren't going well here, you saw like a team do everything they could to change and to adapt and to grow. And that's what I want to be a part of. And I just didn't see that urgency to make those necessary changes. And sadly, like they've been struggling. Like they got rid of their coach, and they've been through a lot of imports, NHL, other players around, and it's just they haven't been able to find a right fit. So I really only hope the best for them, and hope that they find hopefully they find their groove, and be able to make a better run next year. So again, great people, though, very nice people, and that was definitely one of the key take homes, is like it got to be able to see some different people in different culture, and they were super awesome. So
right on. Yeah, so 25 games, looks like 1-10 for 11 and 26 PIMs. What was the biggest difference in the game, do you think?
People think that the game is faster. It was slower for plays to develop. Things happened quickly when they did, but it was a lot slower for plays to develop. The bigger ice doesn't necessarily mean that the game's going to be quicker. Essentially, just gives the coverage more time to get back. Because what you see is a lot of players, you end up skating yourself out of a good scoring position, or you end up just playing puck possession on the outside and not in a great area to score. And so I think we lack the game itself, or the situation that we're in, we really didn't have the best, I felt like we didn't have the best, let's say, tactical approach to manage that. And so that's why I felt like we really struggled. And then it just, again, it just wasn't very enjoyable for me. So again, I want to be on a team that's going to try to go to win it all. And it just seemed like that wasn't the case at the time there. So
okay so before we jump into your return to the States, I want to play a quick game with you called Rapid Fire. Is that all right?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and again, just the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
All right. Favorite number?
19.
Favorite vacation spot?
Italy.
Favorite hockey brand?
Hockey brand. I'll say Bauer.
Math or science?
Close science, though.
Favorite genre of music?
Oh. Alternative.
Okay. Your pump-up song?
Never Touch the Ground.
Very good. In one karaoke song?
Oh, karaoke. Lean on Me or Have a Little Faith in Me.
Very good. Right on. Mace, thanks for doing that for us, brother. Rapid fire. Real quick ad read, Mason, little 30-second break. All right. Guys, Hoosier Hockey Live, episode 20, also brought to you by Steiner Sports Training. The premier facility in the Midwest for hockey training is Steiner. If you want to go and get a full workout, they've got Olympic-style weight room. They've got a turf run. You can do plyometrics, yoga, wind sprints, sled sprints, all of that on the turf room side of the building. You can also do the hockey treadmill on the hockey deck on the synthetic ice. You can also do some, hands work up top on the synthetic ice as well. They've got a shooting lane there. And all of that is at Steiner Sports Training. Go to steinersportstraining.com. Chris Klein and his team will take care of you. They'll get lined up. They've got several plans for all types of players, whether you're a beer league bender like me or you're a monster like Mason Baptista. They can fit anyone in there, okay? So, again, that's steinersportstraining.com. You're welcome. Mason, we're back, brother. All right, man. So let's talk about the return, man. You mentioned, the short year there in the Del 2 and coming back. Now, Fort Wayne still had your rights, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So you come back, and it looks like 27 games this year so far, 8-10 for 18 and 32 PIMs minus 5. So just talk about the return and your warm welcome, I imagine, back to Fort Wayne.
It was I was feeling a couple other options in Europe, but I was just just so thrown by how things went that I didn't really want to go back and find another spot. I know I don't hold a vet spot for probably another 2 years, I think, when my game's played. And when I talked to Dave, he was super excited, and I talked to Benny a little bit too, and it was just a no-brainer. I wanted to come back to the place that gave me the opportunity to be the player, to grow into the player that I am right now. Mm-hmm. And all the coaches seemed very happy to have me back, and it was super exciting just to come back and somewhere a little more familiar and just get back to working on my game. That's my main focus, is to find a way to improve, to grow as a player, and help Fort Wayne win a championship. So
right on. You mentioned the Franchi family. Talk about playing for that ownership group here in Fort Wayne, and maybe what you like about their style and what entices players to play so hard for that ownership group.
They do it when they find a player that they want. They'll do whatever it takes to get him here, and they take care of you. My girlfriend came; she was with me in Germany. They really set us up nicely here to make sure she would be comfortable as well. They accommodate you and all your needs. They make sure that everything's taken care of. There's a lot, people don't see all the stuff that happens in the background with traveling and trying to moving back and forth. We're moving at least twice a year. And that's pretty frequent. Most people don't move for 20 years or 10 right. years. So, they may just make it so easy, and, they set you up to succeed. And that's, it's hard, to be honest, it's very difficult to find that. I hear a lot of horror stories around the league, and most ownerships don't really set the players up to succeed. And here they're always finding a way to make sure that we're ready to succeed. We have all the things necessary. There's no excuses. They're always, they're very, they're always, again, like when things, they're always like in the room, they want to come over and talk to the guys. They're personable. Even when I left, it was so emotional when I first left, because it was like, I just felt like I was leaving a family. Like that's mm-hmm. that's the environment when it, all the people in the office, they're so, it's just a warm feeling. And you don't see that with a lot of teams. And, the culture, like I said, this culture is, it's hard to come by. A lot of teams struggle to get by. And, Fort Wayne always finds a way to make sure that's not a problem. And, they make it very easy, the transition from wherever you go, and make this place feel like home.
Right on. Now, kind of transitioning to the other side of the organization, and that's the fans. On a sellout night, you guys play in front of 11,000 fans. Just speak to that and, you know, how that makes you feel as a pro hockey player, having such a loyal, dedicated, rowdy group of fans. Like, just go into that.
Well, it goes back into that culture. Like, again, the Rockies, they build this culture of winning. They build this culture of we're not going to accept losing. And again, you see that this year, like we've had our tough moments, and we're by no means out of the woods yet. We're still working to try and find our way out of that, and we're taking the right steps, and we're really working as a group to find our way out, and I think we're doing a very good job of that right now. And the fans have just, like, again, when we're losing, they're on us hard, and that's, it holds everyone accountable. But when we're winning, it's the best place to be. And like, you're winning games, like, everyone loves you, they're cheering, they're all like, they're on your side, and they really hold you accountable. And so it really sets the bar high, the expectation that winning is the only thing that's acceptable here. And mm-hmm. so to have a group like that is, again, like you it's hard to see that in pro, because pro, there's this movement of teams and spells where teams aren't going well. And you see it more in college, this loyal fan base. And then when you come to a place like Fort Wayne, you have so many loyal fans. It's just amazing. And the team would not be where it's at without the fan base. Like that fan sure. base. Like this year with their struggles, they're still coming to support us. They're still here cheering us on. The amount of messages I got when we were struggling about fans supporting us and saying, hey, like, don't worry, keep your head up, keep working. We love the work ethic. Just keep pushing through. Things will turn around. And you never get that anywhere else. Like, you don't want to say never, but majority of places don't have fans that do that. And so we're just so fortunate to have such a big group like that to support us, and we wouldn't be where we're at without them.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the big thing that sticks out to me about Fort Wayne is you guys have 6,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah,
it's 6,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah,
that's more than most seats in the ECHL. You know, the Barns only have 6,000 seats. So,
yeah.
You know, to have that base, that strong, hardcore base of every night you're guaranteed 6,000 fans, that's unreal. You know, being able to have that environment, you know, we've talked tirelessly about the jungle and how it's a hard place to play for a road team. And that's got to feel really good to you guys, you know, as far as you know, having some home ice advantage.
Well, yeah, and that's, again, like, I think that if you want to go back to the Colorado series, between Colorado's fans and our fans, that's why the home ice was such an advantage, because when we have to play that seventh game over there, we don't give our fans that opportunity. And so that advantage is so huge. Like, when teams come in, like, teams, I have a lot of buddies, like, over the years now, like, a ton of buddies playing on other teams, and they're always just like, man, that is an insane place to play. Like, I don't get anything like that. It really is. It's an amazing environment. And it goes back to that culture, and the culture of winning, and that not accepting losing, and we're going to keep pushing and keep pushing. And so the fans are there, and that's what helps push us through those hard times.
Sure. We mentioned the jungle, man, but what's your favorite road barn in the ECHL?
You're not going to like it, but Toledo's definitely the best place to go out and play. Like, they got mm-hmm. this, and they get a similar atmosphere. It's a little tighter in there. They pack that place up just like we do, and you it's if there's players that don't like playing against fans that hate you, then they don't really love that competition or that fire that comes from the game. Like when you go over there, they truly hate you. They don't even know you and they hate you. So should put a fire under anyone's belly, and it gets me going every time we go over there. I love scoring there. I love winning there, and it definitely gives you a more fulfilling feeling when you're playing against playing in a crowd like that. So it's a great place to go and play.
Sure. Let me scroll up here to the top. Let's see, 14, 15, you were in Quad City. Did you play in Indy against Indy the first year they were here in 14?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. We talked. We actually had Kaylee Schrock on, and I was going to ask you about opening night, but you weren't there. You're still in college,
still in college there.
Yeah, it's funny. We're from Indianapolis, but we cover the whole Hoosier state. You know, we got a lot of love for Fort Wayne guys. That we've actually had more Fort Wayne guys on than Indy Fuel guys. But, just kind of developing that rivalry and that, culture, like you said, of bringing hockey to Indianapolis. It's one of my favorite matchups, honestly. There are a lot of really good matchups, you guys in Toledo, you guys in Cincinnati, and then, of course, Indy and Fort Wayne. So, just talk about that I-69 series and what that means to you guys on those even though you guys have got the best of Indy, you're still circling that date on the calendar, I imagine.
Well, yeah, it's just anytime you get in division teams like that and you're playing them so many times, you're going to get to know the players, you're going to get to know what they do, what their strengths are, where their weaknesses are. They're going to get under your skin. We get under their skin. It just, again, that's that atmosphere and that fire. Like you go back to the NHL when you have only six teams. Those teams, it was bloodbaths. You watch some of the, I've watched some of the games back in the day, and you're just like, how did people play at this? Like these guys hated each other, and they must have, because when you only play the same five teams for a whole year for 10 years or 20 years of your career, you're going to hate some people. And so, and again, when I say the word hate, I use that as like when you're on the ice, you build that rivalry. And again, like when you go to Indy, like, again, you're going to get their best. They always want, they know when they, Fort Wayne comes into town, we're going to bring a lot of fans there. So they know that that's going to happen. So it definitely makes the atmosphere a lot more enjoyable, and it's always great. I like playing in Indy. That's a great ring to go play. So
they've done a heck of a job at the facility. Very accessible, and it allows for your guys' fans to see you guys. It allows for Indy's market to see them. The media can easily access you guys. That's a win. The city is developing building this thing and trying to make it what Fort Wayne is. I mean, 69 years of pro hockey in Fort Wayne. I mean, it's not built overnight. It takes longevity, and it takes, guys coming back for 4 or 5 years, the Sean Sedlowskis, the Brandon Marinos, the Mason Baptistas of the world to, kind of set the culture and develop it and make it what it is. So, feather in the cap for, being in Fort Wayne for a long time.
Yeah, no, love coming back here, and it's always enjoyable. Again, every game we play, it's not just Indy. You play against Cincy, you play against Toledo, you play against even now Wheeling. Like, it's a very intense Kalamazoo coming up. Like playing over there in that tiny little rink, like it really pushes us to be at our best every night. So,
right on. Favorite memory this year so far.
It's going to be a short one, but yeah, when you score an OT winner, it's definitely going to stand out. And, it's been a tough road for us when it's come to OT and shootout. So I'm happy that we could at least avoid the shootout, but we'll be ready for the next one.
Yeah. I saw the replay on Twitter, a little 2-on-1, put it right in a good position for you.
Sid again, a very underrated playmaker. He's just known as really a sniper because of his ability to score and his amazing shot. But people don't really see the vision he has, and playing with him for like playing on his line for like the past 2 years, he sees the ice better than most guys. I'd say 95% of the guys in the East Coast, and he kind of reminds me of Costello, the way he's able to just like find those little seams, and I think that just gets that gets pushed under the rug because of his ability to score goals. And so it's just, again, he's able to pull that guy over there. He's working the fakes. He's very deceptive, and it makes my job a lot easier. So a guy like that.
Sure. Yeah, and when he got it to you, you had some room to put it, and you made no mistake about it, and game, set, match.
It was definitely awesome to get us the win there. So especially against a great goalie like Hauser. So
and on a great cause night too. You know, when you have a lot of fans coming out to support the breast cancer awareness, you know, you got a lot of things going on. They're auctioning off the jerseys. You put the puck in the net, you've got to be thinking, thank God we won.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, no. Again, it's just we're getting our chances, and it was just in the right. Again, just making sure to execute when your chances come. So it was an awesome win for the. It was a big team win. We did a lot of good things that game, and it's definitely a good. Like I said, we're moving in the right direction, and we have been. We just haven't been getting the bounces, so now we're just trying to build off the momentum.
Sure. I'd have to say, I asked you about your favorite moment. My favorite Fort Wayne Comet moment of the year so far is when Haji and Misko had their little tilt in front of the net.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one. But, yeah, Haji's always good for a couple. He's had a lot of great moments of it, man. I got to watch. So
not only can he get them off, man, he can play. That kid can fly.
Oh, man. You know what? Watching last, I never really noticed it. But I watched the video a lot. I cut all the games up for myself, watching my own game tape. But I watched some of the stuff that he does, and it goes, again, it's similar to Sid. Like, he ends up in spots that most players wouldn't go, and he knows where the puck's going to go. Again, you look at a guy, if you want to talk about hockey IQ, there's a guy who sees the game and knows where the puck's going to go. It's very there's a reason he was able to get to the highest level and play in some amazing places. It's not like his skills very good for sure, but I personally think that the hockey IQ side, what he brings from, like, where he knows where the puck's going to go, that side's just it's what makes him the player that he is. So
sure, right on. Well, Mason, unless there's any other ace stories you want to share, man. I mean, we're not necessarily, G-rated on here, brother. If you got a couple in the arsenal.
No, I don't really know any stories to give you. Like, we've been pretty busy over here.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm just happy to be back. It's awesome to be back in Fort Wayne, and just really looking forward to making a big run again. Getting hot at the right time. So
before we wrap this thing, I had a fan question. It was a Twitter DM.
Okay, let's hear
someone wanted me to ask you, do you put shoe polish in your beard?
No shoe polish. No shoe polish. I have I know you guys are saying I have the best beard. Have you seen Krunk? Like, that thing's an absolute gem. The guy looks like Brian Wilson back in the day.
Well, but the thing is, it's got to be groomed. It's got to be tight. It's got to be, you know.
I don't think you guys are seeing. I get to see the guy every day. So
that's true.
The guy's got his own portable comb, and the guy's always taking care of that thing. So I compare the best beards to guys like Brian Wilson when he's pitching for San Francisco.
For the Giants. Yeah.
And that beard, like, that's what started it all. That's like. I started doing it, my first ever beard I grew, that was like to Krunk size, and his size was my freshman year of college, so that was about 8 years ago.
Wow.
So, and that guy had the best beard, and now I'm telling you, Krunk's got a pretty sick beard. The reason you see it all messed up is because he's messing up all the other guys on the ice, and guys are just grabbing it. That's all they can get on him.
Sure, Right on. Well, hey, the next time you're in Indianapolis, man, we're gonna have to get together and get a picture for the Twitter and the Facebook. So, and we'll have to get a crunk in front of us to measure up these beards, man, for sure.
Oh yeah. So for sure.
Yep. Right on, Mason. I appreciate you being with us tonight, man. You know, fans that are watching, check out BabsHockey.com. You know, a great site and a great ambassador for the game. I'm certainly going to send my beer league shift to him and at least get a one-time, you know, diagnosis of where I'm fucking up. So,
well, see where you're at and then go from there. So,
right on. A quick shout out. Thanks to our sponsors, All Black Hockey Sticks. Again, allblackhockeysticks.com. The $89 All Black Hockey Stick. Mention Hoosier Hockey Live in the referral box. You'll be entered to win a prize at the end of the month. We like to say thanks one more time to Steiner Sports Training, the premier hockey facility here in Indianapolis. Mason, best of luck the rest of the way, brother. Thanks for coming on. We're so glad you're back in Indiana, you know, playing hockey and running around buzzing and knocking people's heads off. So,
well, thanks again for having me on here. Yep. And sharing the Babs Hockey sure. website, and look forward to helping you out and anyone else out there. So,
very good. All right, Mason, we'll talk soon, brother. Thanks again.
Have a good night. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
All right, guys, that was Mason Baptista. Holy shit, what an episode, man. That guy's a beauty. All right, so again, one more time. All Black Hockey Sticks, Steiner Sports Training. Get on their websites. Figure it out. Episode 21. I want to talk about this real quick. It will not be this Sunday. It will be the following Sunday. We had a two-episode week, back-to-back weeks. So taking Sunday off. And then I will be back the following Sunday. The Indiana High School State Tournament is starting on Friday night. 4A and 3A, you know, especially at the Hoosier League right here in town. A lot of teams in action. Watch the Twitter, watch the Facebook, watch the Instagram. There will be some content rolled out. It won't be a full episode, but I will be, you know, in those markets, you know, getting interviews and talking to coaches. So, be sure to be aware of that. You know, we'd like to thank everyone for checking out Hoosier Hockey Live episode 20, featuring Mason Baptista. It was a good goal. Going to drop this on iTunes hopefully tonight, and you guys will be able to listen to this hopefully on the car ride to work tomorrow morning. So, you know, for everyone here at Hoosier Hockey Live, All Black Hockey Sticks, Steiner Sports Training, thanks for being with us. We are out of here. Have a good night.